This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The space shuttle Atlantis is scheduled to lift off on Monday, May 11th at 2:01 and 49 seconds p.m. for the fifth and final mission to service the Hubble Space Telescope. It's an honor to welcome live in studio Professor of Astronomy at the University of Virginia, Bob O'Connell joins me. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Great. Good to be with you.
We want to talk about your work on this mission. You were involved with a number of astronomers around the country in helping to design and prepare the new camera that will be installed on the Hubble. And we want to get all the details on that and the launch. But let us start first, if we can, with Bob O'Connell 101. Where are you from and how you got to be an astronomer?
Well, I was born in San Francisco, and I got interested in astronomy actually when my father tossed a cigarette and said, "Hey, that's brighter than the meteor shower that we were supposed to be watching at the time." I think I was 3 years old. So I went to the University of California and Caltech, and I came back here in 1971, partly because the National Radio Astronomy Observatory is here in Charlottesville. So that's when I started at UVA.
Oh, okay. Now, for folks who don't know, Bob, what is that? Because some folks have probably seen the sign out on Ivy Road, and they wonder exactly what is that?
Right. So that's a nationally supported, it's run by the National Science Foundation, observatory in the radio part of the spectrum, just like optical observatories, the kind we normally think of, are in the optical part of the spectrum.
So, and that, so there's folks in that building who are listening to space, is that right?
Right.
Wow.
And they have several large installations. One is in New Mexico. One is in Green Bank, West Virginia. That's why they're here in Virginia. That was their original observatory. And now they're building a huge facility down in Chile.
Oh, no kidding. Right. And they'll be able to hear a lot better, I would imagine.
Yes. different kinds of things, right?
Yeah. We're talking with Bob O'Connell of the University of Virginia. Now, this launch upcoming on Monday, the Space Shuttle Atlantis, going back to service the Hubble Space Telescope. Explain first, a lot of Americans still think that's broken, that they somehow messed up the mirror, or what's going on with Hubble?
Well, Hubble was launched in 1990. It's just finished its 19th year. And yes, it had a problem to start with. The mirror, its main mirror, was perfect, except it was the wrong shape. It was perfectly made, but it was just the wrong shape by a little bit. And that caused a little bit of blurring, which of course was bad because this was supposed to be the most precise telescope ever built. But it turns out you can fix that. You can fix that with small mirrors, just to, in each of the pieces of equipment that you use, just put a little small mirror in there that corrects for that problem. And the first repair mission or servicing mission to Hubble was in 1993, and they fixed it, and it's been working fine ever since.
And this is the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, this thing has just brought us pictures that are... Historic isn't strong enough word to say what this thing's done so far, is it?
Well, yeah. The pictures it takes are super sharp. And they're pictures that you can't get from ordinary observatories on the ground because you've got the atmosphere in the way. The atmosphere is a real hindrance to astronomy. I mean, we like to breathe. You know, we like the rain, although not quite as much as we had lately. And the atmosphere offers protection for us, but astronomers just find it a nuisance. And any little motion in the atmosphere blurs images. And you just can't get away from that unless you're out in space. And that's the Hubble's real advantage.
Now, tell us about the Wide Field Planetary Camera 3, which is the new camera that Atlantis, when they lift off on Monday, they're going to Hubble to install this new camera, right?
Right. It's Wide Field Camera 3. There's no planetary.
Okay.
It's an older camera. Yeah, well, it's actually going to replace the Wide Field Planetary Camera 2. Which has been in there for 15 years. It was the one that corrected the blur in the telescope initially.
Okay.
And that is getting pretty rickety. It still works, but it's subject to radiation damage. And the imaging we're getting off that camera is now not what it ought to be. So 10 years ago, NASA, foreseeing this, decided to build a replacement camera. And that's what we've been working on for now 11 years. And we took the advantage here, advantage of this opportunity, to extend the range of the camera to two new color bands that the original camera didn't have. One is in the ultraviolet, and the other is in the infrared part of the spectrum. And so this new camera will have these special capabilities that were never on Hubble before in terms of the size of the area it's going to look at and the sensitivity in these two bands. It'll be 10 times faster than any previous camera on Hubble in
wow.
these bands. And in the infrared part of the spectrum, it'll be 30 times faster than anything on the ground, including these really big telescopes. You know, Hubble isn't a very big telescope. It's only a 94-inch telescope.
How big is it, like, if it was sitting in this room? How big is that thing?
It wouldn't sit in this room.
Okay.
It's about 44 feet long.
Okay.
And the mirror is 94 inches across, and then there's stuff around that, of course. So it's a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
It just fits in the payload bay of the space shuttle, and the payload bay of the space shuttle is about the size of a DC-9 aircraft.
Okay. We're talking with a professor of astronomy from the University of Virginia, Bob O'Connell. He's chair of the committee of astronomers that oversaw development of the Wide Field Camera 3, which is headed up for the Hubble Space Telescope on Monday on Space Shuttle Atlantis to be installed, the most impressive camera yet. What will the infrared spectrum allow us to see that we haven't seen so far, you think?
The main thing, and the thing that people are very interested in, is very, very distant galaxies. Now, we live in a galaxy. That's all the stars you see in the sky at night are in our galaxy. That's one star system. But there are billions of these star systems scattered throughout the galaxy. So they're very, very distant ones that we're very interested in seeing. And this infrared camera, is particularly sensitive to those. And the ones that we're most interested in are the ones that first formed in the universe. You know, there was a big bang. The universe was all gas at that point. It was very hot, glowing. It starts to expand. It cools off very fast, but it's all still diffuse. Stars haven't formed. Galaxies haven't formed. There's nothing there yet. And the universe gets very dark. And then the first stars begin to form, and they accumulate into galaxies. And we're just at the edge of being able to see that first group of galaxies being formed. It's a really important transition in the history of the universe. And with this camera, we think we'll collect a group of, you know, maybe 500, maybe 1,000 of the very first objects to form in the universe. Now, when we look at them, they're just going to look like blobs. It'll be completely uninteresting from the standpoint of what they, you know, their shape and so on. But the camera will be able to pick them out because these will have redder colors than anything else, you know, we've ever seen
before.
Wavelengths of light, right?
Yeah.
Just extraordinarily red, redder than anything you see in ordinary life. And it's this camera that can detect these things.
Amazing. Where will it be looking in the night sky for those things? All over the place, or is there one point where we could look, where we're looking towards the center of the universe and the oldest part?
You can look absolutely anywhere. In fact, that's what they're planning to do. So next year, when the telescope gets going, there's a group of people who are going to be doing exactly this experiment that I talked about. And they'll just pick a place in the sky that's dark, that doesn't have anything else. There won't be any big galaxies there because they want to look past all the local stuff to the most distant part of the universe. You can look anywhere as long as it's not obscured by something else. Like, you wouldn't look in the Milky Way, you know, the band of light that we see in the summertime.
Right.
Because that's our own galaxy, and that blocks the view.
You're looking towards the
universe.
Center of our galaxy.
Right.
Then, yeah.
You don't want to do that. So you'd look away from that. But you can look anywhere, because these things are going to be everywhere.
We're talking with Bob O'Connell of the University of Virginia. He's chair of the Committee of Astronomers that oversaw development of the Wide Field Camera 3, which will be installed on the Hubble Space Telescope next week. How long will this mission take to actually install this thing? And what's involved, really? Is it spacewalks and unscrewing and screwing? I mean,
yes.
Is that kind of thing?
Yeah. So it's a 12-day mission. It launches on Monday, if everything goes right. On the fourth day, they'll do the first spacewalk. So there are five scheduled spacewalks. And there are two astronauts involved in each of those. They'll last about 7 hours each. They don't want to push them past a certain amount of time. And these things have been completely choreographed in advance. Everything they do has been practiced over and over and over and over.
It's like a dance and they learn the steps.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, down in Houston, they have a huge tank of water. It's called a neutral buoyancy lab. And the astronauts go in their suits, and they're assisted by people in skin diving equipment. And the idea is there, they have a complete mock-up, high-fidelity mock-up of the Hubble in the tank. And they practice installing the equipment over and over again. The idea of the water is it gives you the sensation of, that you're in space where things don't have any weight.
Right, right.
And so they practiced this endlessly for about 2 years.
Oh my gosh, really? And there's how many people on this? On this mission?
There are 7 astronauts on the mission. There are 4 that will be involved in the actual spacewalks. There are 2 pilots. And then there's a third person who will be moving the shuttle manipulator arm, which is this device that goes out and picks things up and moves them around. And the astronauts actually cling on to the arm. They're moved around by the arm to get to the Hubble.
Wow. Will they bring back camera 2? Will that be put in the Atlantis, right, and brought back to Earth?
Right. So the old camera will be brought back, and some other equipment is going to be brought back. So they're installing the camera, they're installing a new spectrograph, and they're replacing the batteries because the batteries are starting to run down, and also some pointing equipment and other things. That's all routine, actually. They've done this, 4 times before. But what they haven't done before is actually repair equipment that's on board the telescope right now. Not just take it out and exchange the units, but actually work on it, And this hasn't been done before. So this is the tricky part of the operation.
So this is a pretty dangerous mission.
It's not dangerous, but it's not more dangerous than any other mission. It's just very complicated because they're doing things that weren't intended to be done. So, for example, this one spectrograph that is busted at the moment, has a power supply that needs fixing. There are 110 bolts holding the panel, access panel in place, because this wasn't intended to be taken apart, okay? So they have to get these 110 bolts out, but you can't let them float around because those things are really dangerous. If one of them gets inside the telescope, it's floating around, that could ruin the whole facility. So they have to have special tools made that allow them to extract these bolts without letting them go free and so forth.
Wow.
And the other difficult thing is the second instrument that has to be fixed is hard from the access point of view. You have to kind of go around a corner and reach in, and you're doing this in a spacesuit with these big, thick gloves and so on. It's pretty tricky.
Wow.
But they think they can do it.
Amazing. And you said it's a 12-day mission?
It's a 12-day mission.
Wow. So you'll be down for the launch on Monday, right?
I'll be down for the launch, right.
Yeah.
But they'll be done with the spacewalks within about 7 days, I think, 8 days. And then they'll have some time to cool down. But they're going at this, one walk a day.
Wow.
It's a pretty demanding schedule.
How long do you think it will be before before the cameras turned on and these new pictures start coming back?
It's going to be several months because they have to let everything adjust to space. So they let all the gases come out of the equipment before they turn anything on. It'll be 6 weeks or so before we start getting any information, and before we get really good, pictures, it'll be a couple months.
Now, will you be? I'm assuming that you'll be one of the guys sitting in that room when those first pictures come back.
Yes, figuratively, whether I'm physically present or just on the computer. But
it's very exciting. I mean, what a time to be in astronomy.
Oh yeah. Well, astronomy is, lots of people have gone into it just because of it. But there are all kinds of other things, too. I mentioned radio astronomy. There's X-ray astronomy. There's gamma ray astronomy. There's a big gamma ray observatory that just went up. There's all kinds of things going on.
We're talking with Bob O'Connell, the University of Virginia professor of astronomy, chair of the committee of astronomers that oversaw development of the new camera being installed on the Hubble Space Telescope. I want to ask you about something you mentioned earlier. You said the camera that's on there now has suffered serious radiation damage. The new camera that's being installed, I'm assuming, will also be subject to this radiation damage. And what kind of lifespan will that have? And would they be going back up at some point with camera 4?
Well, okay. That your last question is a budgetary question. And if you ask NASA about that right now, the answer is no, they won't be going back again. But the radiation damage we're talking about here has to do with the digital detector that's in the camera. It's the same kind of detectors you have in, cell phones and other kinds of digital cameras. It's just that if you expose those to too much radiation, that's high-energy particles in space, they begin to degrade, and they aren't able to perform as well over time. Now, we knew this was going to happen with the new camera, and we built into the design of the detectors there kind of a resistance mechanism, something that resists this kind of damage over time.
Exactly. Give it more life, I guess.
Give it more life. We're not exactly sure how well that's going to work. But the intended lifetime of the telescope and all the instruments is another 5 years.
Which is 5 years of terrific research and pictures.
We certainly hope so.
Now, that radiation damage, that's the same radiation that long-term space travelers, if we want to send people to Mars, that's the real dilemma with sending people to Mars, right? The radiation they would be subject to, even if you're inside the spaceship, those particles still come through the walls and come through your body.
That's right. Right. So these are cosmic rays, and they can go right through something as big as the Hubble is. You know, it has a lot of metal in it. They'll go right through that. And to build enough shielding to actually shield a human crew would take just, an enormous weight. There's no really good way to do that. Now, this is cumulative. You know, it's been over 19 years and the equipment's still working. So it's not terrible, but it does degrade.
Yeah. How would you send somebody to Mars? I mean, I guess we've seen so much from these little machines we send, you don't necessarily have to send people, but that is the great challenge, right? How would we protect them from these rays?
You'd have to send them fast. You'd have to get them inside an atmosphere quickly. And you'd want to do that at a time when the sun, which is one of the culprits here in producing the cosmic rays, when the sun is not very active. When the sun has a lot of activity on its surface, it has these explosions that drive particles, off the sun and through the solar system and to the Earth and so on. Those are the really dangerous things. You'd have to plan a mission to Mars at a time when that wasn't likely to happen. And that's called solar minimum. But the main thing would be speed.
Just get them there quickly.
Get them there fast.
We're talking with Bob O'Connell of the University of Virginia. Before we let you go, I was curious, the previous cameras on Hubble, any of those things that it's taken pictures of or that Hubble has seen that you particularly come to mind that you just still find amazing?
There are a couple. The fingers of God, that picture. Which has been seen. It has the green background and these dark fingers coming up. Those are new stars in the process of formation, maybe with planetary systems around them, and that's a very beautiful picture. And there are other pictures of other star forming regions. So stars are forming all the time in our galaxy and in other galaxies, and many of the really spectacular pictures that Hubble took are of these kinds of star forming galaxies. So what you see is you see these very massive blue white stars. Those are the young ones.
Yeah. How does a star form? What's literally happening in space when a new light comes on and a new ball of fire starts burning?
Well, stars form out of gas. There's a lot of gas floating between the stars in our galaxy. And if it can accumulate to the point where it starts to collapse under its own self-gravity, then you'll get a star forming. The tricky part is getting that gas to cool down to the point, where it can be compressed by gravity. So there has to be a kind of coolant in there that allows the stars to actually collapse under their own self-gravity.
So is it sort of like if there's enough water in the sky, you're going to start seeing a cloud form?
Yeah, it's sort of similar. It's different because it's gravitational rather than just attraction of the molecules the way it is in the sky. But it's the same kind of thing. And about one solar mass, the sun has... is one mass of material. About that much material is formed into stars every year in the galaxy.
Wow. Gosh. So my last question is, what's an astronomer's dream when it comes to a telescope? Where do we go after Hubble? Because the day will come when, Hubble just doesn't perform anymore. I mean, that's inevitable. But what's next? I mean, when you sit around with astronomers at your conferences, what's the dream that you would like to see one day? Boy, wouldn't it be great if?
Well, the next big telescope is already in planning. In fact, it's already being constructed. And it's a 6-meter diameter telescope called the James Webb Space Telescope. And that's scheduled to be launched in 2013. And we hope that both Hubble and the James Webb will be operating in the same time frame. Now, the thing about the Webb telescope is it only operates in the infrared. It doesn't cover the same visible part of the spectrum that Hubble does. So it doesn't duplicate its facilities. So the next thing beyond that we're thinking of is a telescope, maybe 4 to 6 meter in diameter telescope that does work in the Hubble color bands and can do the same kind of thing. And, you know, there's the moon. There are other places you can put huge telescopes. The biggest one anybody's seriously talking about is a 10-meter telescope, which would be, you know, 30
wow.
feet across.
Yeah, amazing.
But, you know, these things take, I would guess, for something that size, you're talking about 40 years.
One day.
Yeah.
Bob O'Connell is with the University of Virginia, professor of astronomy and chair of the committee of astronomers that oversaw development of Wide Field Camera 3, which launches from the Earth on Monday on Space Shuttle Atlantis, headed for the Hubble Space Telescope. Bob, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.